You are listening to RotoViz Radio, a fantasy football podcast, with your host, Matthew Friedman.
Hey everyone, I'm Matt Friedman, Matt F. the Oracle of the Action Network and RotoViz. Welcome to a special edition of RotoViz Radio. Today we are talking about the Philadelphia Eagles. In between the NFL Combine and the draft, I'm interviewing beat reporters for every franchise, 32 teams, 32 beat writers, and 32 episodes. We are covering team needs, free agency, draft rumors, basically everything between now and day one of the draft. For this episode, I'm joined by Ed Kratz, an Eagles beat writer for Eagles Wire on USA Today. In this episode, he talks with us about the rehabilitation of Carson Wentz, the impact the departures of offensive coordinator Frank Reich and quarterbacks coach John DeFilippo might have on the team, and the Eagles' plans for the first round of the draft. Before we get to the guest, I'd like to remind you that you can get a listeners-only 30% discount to a RotoViz NFL pass through the NFL podcast homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast. Your subscription gives you unlimited access to all of the premium NFL content on the site, and it supports the pod. All right, let's get to the guest. Please welcome to the show Ed Kratz of the Eagles Wire on USA Today. You can follow him on Twitter at KratzE. Ed, thanks for taking the time to talk with us.
Hey, thanks, Matt. My pleasure.
Let's jump into it. It is a fantastic time of year. The draft is less than 2 weeks away, and the Eagles are world champions. I don't think anyone really would have expected that a year ago, but this is where we are. And amazingly, it happened without Carson Wentz on the field. What can you tell us about his recovery?
As far as his recovery goes, it's going pretty well. I mean, all accounts are. I mean, you know, he's posted some videos of himself throwing a football, and you know, everything seems to be progressing nicely. I don't expect him to play, obviously, in any of the preseason games this August. But again, we'll see about that. Today, Monday, is the first day that players are able to report. It's kind of a conditioning thing. So, you know, I guess at this point, you know, going forward, we'll find out exactly where Wentz is in his recovery. But, you know, I think that, you know, when you look back, you know, Donovan McNabb back in 2006 tore his ACL in November. And, you know, he came back in 2007. He played in the preseason and was healthy, but he just didn't seem to be the same guy. He took a lot of sacks, more than normal. And the team's offense went from sixth in the league down to, I think, 17th that season when he came back. So, you know, coming back from an ACL is a challenge mentally and physically. And, you know, we'll see if Wentz is able to handle that.
All right, so Nick Foles is there as the backup. It seems as if he is firmly entrenched with the team for 2018, right? Like, barring any sort of miraculous trade or something, he's there, right? And he's going to be the guy as the backup.
Yeah, and he could, you know, depending on Wentz's health, he could start the season. But right now, yeah, he'll take all the reps, you know, as these OTAs start to pick up in May, and then the mini camp arrives in June. He'll be the guy taking the snaps with Nate Sudfeld, you know, taking those backup snaps. The Eagles really like Nate Sudfeld. They spent the whole offseason singing his praises, and they would be quite comfortable with him stepping in should something crazy happen with Foles and a trade develop. You know, remember a couple of years ago when Sam Bradford was supposed to be the starter going into the 2016 season, and then Teddy Bridgewater had that knee injury, and the Vikings felt they were close, so they gave up a first-round pick for Bradford. The Eagles turned that into Derek Barnett last year, who, you know, to me, had one of the better rookie seasons of anybody. Made some huge plays during the season, including in the Super Bowl, getting that key fumble recovery of Brady to kind of set up the, you know, the game-winning field goal for the Eagles. So, you know, if something like that were to develop, nothing's etched in stone, I think the Eagles would part with Foles and, you know, turn this over to Nate Sudfeld. And, you know, they could end up drafting a quarterback later in this draft. They do like to draft quarterbacks every couple of years. And, you know, this feels like a year where maybe they'll do that.
All right. The backfield, Jay Ajayi is there, but he's obviously not the only guy. He's supplemented with a number of runners there. His contract runs out after this year. What do you think we should expect to see with him, and how the workload in that backfield is going to be split?
Yeah, like you said, Ajayi's in his final year of his rookie deal, and he also has that knee situation. You know, he's got the knee, kind of a degenerative knee situation where he can't always participate in practice. You know, teams like the Dolphins and then the Eagles after they acquired him, kind of rested him from practice occasionally just to preserve that knee. So really those are two big issues with Ajayi. Like you said, he's in the final year of his deal and then the knee. But, you know, Doug Peterson likes to rotate his running backs just like, you know, defensive coordinator Jim Schwartz likes to rotate his defensive linemen. You know, we saw that last year, you know, with Corey Clement, Jay Ajayi, and LeGarrette Blount all taking significant carries, playing a role in the passing game. So now they lose one of those pieces in LeGarrette Blount, who leaves for free agency to go to Detroit. You still have Corey Clement, obviously, who to me was one of the league's biggest surprises last year. He scored 7 touchdowns between catching, you know, receiving and running, and he had the catch in the Super Bowl against the Patriots. So they still have Clement. They still have Ajayi. They're going to rotate those two guys heavily. It's going to be interesting to see what Donnell Pumphrey has. He was drafted in the 4th round last year. He's the all-time leading rusher in NCAA history. Came from San Diego State. He was kind of drafted with an eye toward replacing Darren Sproles. He's similar in size and stature, speed, shiftiness, but, you know, really there's only one Darren Sproles. So, you know, it's a high bar. But Pumphrey struggled as a rookie. They put him on IR at the end of the summer, but he's back. So it'll be interesting to see where he might fit into this thing. And then, you know, you still have Wendell Smallwood, who was inactive for all but 2 games after the Eagles acquired Jay Ajayi. He's shown flashes. His problem has been the ability to stay healthy for long periods. So, you know, there's been a lot of talk with the draft. The Eagles went to Louisiana to visit LSU's Darius Geis, and they're also hosting him this week on a visit. That's a lot of interest to show in somebody. 2 years ago when they drafted Wentz, Peterson and Vice President Howie Roseman flew to North Dakota to meet with Wentz, talk to some people in his hometown about him, to get to know him better. So, you know, they went to Louisiana to talk to Geis and to talk to some people in his support group. And that to me is a high level of interest. Now, whether or not Geis is going to be there at 32 and the Eagles decide to pull the trigger on him is another story. But to me, they need to find a running back at some point, because I think Ajayi is kind of a 1-year guy and gone. Smallwood, like I said, with the injuries, cannot be counted on. Pumphrey, you don't know. So really that leaves you with Corey Clement. So they're going to draft somebody at running back, whether it's Geis at 32 or somebody else, or if maybe later in the draft, say like in Alabama's Bo Scarborough is sitting there in the 4th round, maybe they, you know, pull the trigger on him. But they're going to get a running back in this draft for sure.
Interesting. Looking at the wide receiver group, obviously they extended Alshon Jeffrey's contract. Nelson Agholor, he signed for 2018. The club has the option for 2019. And then Mike Wallace was just added. What are your thoughts on this wide receiver group and specifically on Nelson Agholor and what we might see with his contract?
Yeah, well, I mean, Agholor certainly put himself in a good position to at least have the Eagles think about picking up that 5th-year option on his deal. Of course, he'll play this year, and then they have that option for the 2019 season should he continue to show what he did last year, which was, you know, he really caught the ball better, flashed some speed. I mean, Nelson Agholor was huge with this offense last year. If he continues along that path upward, then I think he'll have his contract option picked up or maybe even renegotiated and add a couple more years and kind of space that money out for salary cap reasons. So, you know, it's all the ball is in his court, in my opinion. Eagles like him. He really developed into what they thought he could be when they drafted him in the 1st round in 2015. So, you know, we'll have to just wait and see if he's able to maintain that sort of, that ascendance that he showed last year. You mentioned Mike Wallace. He's kind of a stopgap guy. They got rid of Torrey Smith. They traded him to Carolina. But, you know, Mac Collins, you know, he got some snaps last year in place of Torrey Smith. He, you know, he was drafted kind of as a special teams guy, but, you know, he got some time catching the ball as well. Had a big play against Washington, a 70-plus yard touchdown catch that he had. He's got speed deep. So I expect that he might have a little bit of a bigger role on the offense this year. And then Shelton Gibson, who was a kid that really didn't play a whole lot last year. He played late on special teams. He was a 5th-round pick last year out of West Virginia. He has some speed. You know, they may even use him to return kicks. But, you know, they have these two kids that they drafted, Hollins and Gibson, last year that they want to see take that second-year step that, you know, players tend to make if they're any good. You know, and the Eagles, like Darius Geis, they've shown a lot of interest in SMU's Cortland Sutton in the draft. Maybe to a lesser extent, Maryland's DJ Moore. You know, they could pull the trigger there at 32 on a receiver. someone that can kind of come in and learn the NFL without a whole lot of pressure on him to be the man. Sutton's been compared to Alshon Jeffrey, big bodied guy, good red zone target. But, you know, you're looking at the Cowboys who draft obviously earlier than the Eagles, and they need a wide receiver after letting Dez Bryant go. So, you know, maybe they get one of those guys or a Calvin Ridley. So, you know, the Eagles could pull the trigger first round on a receiver at 32, or, the, you know, maybe they go later for someone like maybe Penn State's Deshaun Hamilton if he's sitting there, Washington's Dante Pettis, who can also return kicks. And the Eagles are looking for someone to return kicks. So, you know, maybe they go later in the draft on a receiver, kind of like a running back. I think that's what they're going to do, is if they don't go early with a receiver at number one, then they'll go later, I think, at some point on a receiver.
What about tight end? I mean, obviously the team has Zach Ertz, who's incredibly important to what they do. Last year they had Trey Burton, who was good as a number two tight end, and also did well when he had to fill in for Zach Ertz. Is tight end a position the team is likely to address in the draft?
Yeah, again, like running back and receiver, yeah, they need to get a tight end. I mean, they like to have depth at that spot. They, you know, Brent Celek, obviously they released. He, you know, he hasn't been signed. Maybe he retires. I doubt that the Eagles will re-sign him for a veteran minimum. I doubt he'll come back and do that. But yeah, Trey Burton leaving leaves a big hole. So I doubt they would go for a tight end at 32. I know there's been talk that maybe they'll draft that kid from South Dakota State, Dallas Goedert, or maybe even Penn State's Mike Gesicki. But I'd be surprised if they went with a pass-catching tight end, even though it could create all sorts of headaches for a defensive coordinator trying to stop Ertz and a guy like Gesicki or Goddard. But, you know, maybe they want to find a tight end later in the draft who can block. That was kind of Celek's role toward the end of his career, was very good at it in the run game. And the best blocking tight end in this draft, who I think is considered the best blocking tight end anyway, is a kid from San Diego State, David Wells, that could be sitting there in the fifth or sixth round. Maybe they take a flyer on him, kind of as a blocking tight end. Or Stanford's Dalton Schultz is out there also. He's good friends with Ertz. He's considered a very good blocking tight end. So, yeah, we'll see. I mean, they have a kid, Billy Brown, that spent the year on their practice squad, who was a receiver in college at Division II school. I think it was Fairmont State in West Virginia. That he came from, or maybe Glenville. I can't remember. It was a small Division II school in West Virginia where Billy Brown came from. And he's a big guy that they tried to convert into a tight end. He spent the year learning the tight end position, switching over from wide receiver. But he showed some flashes last year during training camp, and they like him. So, you know, he could find a home on the 53-man roster, you know, by the time this season begins.
Looking at the offensive line, a fantastic unit. All of the starters have at least five NFL seasons, but Jason Peters is coming off of an injury. Some of the guys are starting to get a little bit older. Do you think they might look to make a serious investment in the offensive line?
Yeah, I do. I think I absolutely do. I think, you know, again, if there's a lineman that slips to 32, maybe they go that direction, like a kid like Colton Miller from UCLA or Notre Dame's Mike McGlinchey. If they're sitting there at 32, you know, the Eagles will have a decision to make where they want to go. Do they want to go running back? Do they want to go receiver or line? They're a team, the Eagles, that likes to build from the front out. They like to keep their lines as strong and deep as possible, both offensive line and defensive line. You know, Halapulavati Vaitai did a pretty good job stepping in for Peters last year. Vaitai's just in his second year, you know, and he proved to be pretty darn good. So, you know, they have him. They have a kid they drafted right after they took Carson Wentz, Isaac Siamalu, who was, I think, took a little bit of a step back last year. But, you know, he's a guy that they're counting on maybe in the interior at guard or center down the line. He's a young guy. But, you know, they do like to fortify the lines. And you do have to look at Jason Peters. We'll see what he has coming back off of that pretty serious knee injury that he had. You know, he's 35 or 6 now, not getting any younger. Obviously, he's taken up a huge chunk of their salary cap. So I don't, you know, obviously he won't be, you know, if he's even on the team this year, I think he will be, but it's probably going to be his last year. So yeah, you start, have to start looking at that. You know, you're Stefan Wisniewski, one of your guards, he's, you know, he's a veteran player. Jason Kelce, one of the best centers in the league. He's still fairly young, but you know, he's getting near 30 now also. So, you know, they do have to start looking at that. Of course, Lane Johnson at right tackle was still young, probably one of the best right tackles in the league, but yeah. You always want to build your lines as strong as you can. You see what happens when you kind of neglect them, which is what, you know, has given the New York Giants some fits in the past. The Indianapolis Colts have struggled with their offensive line play. So, you know, you want to keep that as strong as you can. And if there's somebody sitting there at 32 that they think could have been a top 25 pick and is still there on that line, maybe they go, you know, in that direction at 32.
So in general on offense, even as it regards the 32nd pick, but really just in general, it seems like because the team has no huge glaring needs, it's almost just best player available at any of the positions. Does that seem right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's really kind of the approach you should take no matter where you're drafting, is take the best player available. If you draft for need, you might find yourself getting, you know, getting into some trouble down the line. So, you know, it's tough to say, to not draft for need, especially when you're in that top 10 or 15. But you're right. Sitting at 32 with a roster that won the Super Bowl, it did have some losses, you know, in free agency, guys that they released also. But, you know, it's still a very strong roster and a roster that they can afford to kind of look down the line a little bit at contract situations and see where they might need some help, you know, in 2019 and beyond.
Looking at the defensive side of the ball, specifically the front seven, the defensive line is so strong, so deep, but the linebacking unit isn't quite as established. Jordan Hicks is coming off of an injury. Michael Kendricks is, you know, the perpetual subject of trade rumors. How does the team feel about its linebackers?
Well, I think them re-signing Nigel Bradham to a contract, and it's really friendly type of a deal where they can kind of cut him at any point. But, you know, Nigel Bradham was huge for this team last year. He was probably he was their best linebacker, in my opinion, last year. And he did a lot, especially when Hicks went out. You know, the Eagles don't use a lot of three linebackers on the field at once. You know, they play a lot of nickel defense. So really, you know, you need those two kind of mainstay linebackers. And then the third would kind of rotate in, depending on the situation. So, you know, Jordan Hicks, if he comes back healthy from that Achilles, and all signs are he's fine and he will. But again, we'll have to wait and see about that. And then you have Bradham. You know, you mentioned Michael Kendricks. You know, he's a guy that does kind of feel like he doesn't fit, especially when the Eagles did some upgrading here. They signed a couple free agent linebackers, Corey Nelson from Denver and Paul Warlow from Detroit. They also have a kid, Nathan Jerry, who was drafted last year in the sixth round. He played defensive back at Nebraska, and he spent his rookie season learning how to play linebacker. Got a lot of work in at special teams. You know, again, that's that second-year step-up you want to see from players. We'll see if Jerry can make that jump in his second year. You know, and Kendricks, where would they have been last year without him when they lost Hicks? I mean, he was a real mainstay to that defense. So the Eagles aren't just going to give him away, but I expect them to shop him heavily in the days leading up to the draft and even during the draft.
All right, the secondary is fairly set with Ronald Darby and Jalen Mills at cornerback, and then Malcolm Jenkins and Rodney McLeod at safety. But the team just released Daryl Worley, so seemingly they are now in the market for a third cornerback. And this rookie class is actually pretty deep at the position. Do you think the team might look for a cornerback in round one?
Yeah, they absolutely could. They've shown some interest in some guys in round one. But, you know, don't forget Sidney Jones, too, the Eagles have. He was, you know, he's coming off an Achilles injury that he suffered during his pro day last March. Had he not had that Achilles tear, Sidney Jones was considered a top 10, 15 pick in the entire draft, if not the number one cornerback in the draft, him and Marshawn Lattimore, who went to New Orleans. But, you know, Sidney Jones is a real talent. You know, he spent the year kind of rehabbing, learning the system, but he did get some time against Dallas, and that meeting was regular season finale. So he does have a little bit of taste of the NFL, but, you know, he's almost like having another draft pick, Sidney Jones. So, you know, you start looking at Ronald Darby and Jalen Mills and Sidney Jones, and then they're pretty high on Rasul Douglas, who they drafted in the third round last year. So they're all young kids, guys that, you know, they're hoping can become the next Legion of Boom, if you will, a young cornerback group that can grow together, kind of like Seattle's did, you know, back in the day. Of course, that, you know, that's no longer the Legion of Boom there, but, you know, the Eagles have that kind of ability at the corner now with young, talented players. But again, that losing Patrick Robinson in free agency, who played the heck out of that slot cornerback spot, they're going to have to find a guy that can play inside. And, you know, you mentioned the safeties, Jenkins and McLeod. You know, they might want to go first round with a safety because they're not re-signing Corey Graham, who was a vital part of Schwartz's defense last year, did a lot at third safety position. So they're going to need to groom someone like to replace Jenkins, who's getting older, and McLeod has some pretty hefty salary cap numbers coming up over the length of the deal that he signed when he was a free agent a couple years back. So, you know, maybe they go with like an Alabama's Ronnie Harrison at 32 or Stanford's Justin Reed. They've shown a lot of interest in both those guys. Or you know, even maybe later, Marcus Allen, the Penn State kid. I don't know where he'll come off the board. But, yeah, I expect the Eagles to look pretty heavily at the defensive back spot.
Looking at, you know, day two and maybe even day three, are there any, and you've mentioned some prospects, but any prospects who, you know, whether they've been linked to the team or not, but any guys who really stand out in what you've read or heard as guys who just seem to fit with what the Eagles might want to do, guys who might be kind of like the quote unquote, like Eagles type of character?
Yeah, well, here's the issue is they don't have a pick on that second day. They don't have a second or third round pick. You know, so they have two in the fourth, they have two in the fifth, and they have a sixth and a seventh. So, you know, there's the school of thought that if someone's not there at 32 that they were hoping, really hoping would be there, that perhaps they trade back a few spots and get out of the first round and pick up another pick or two, you know, later on, maybe in the third round or later in the second round. You know, so there's that school of thought. But there are some guys out there. I know that, you know, they're pretty high on, you know, some guys that maybe like a Brandon Parker, who's an offensive tackle out of North Carolina A&T. You know, these are small school guys that, you know, they like to look at those small schools to mine some of their talent. There's a cornerback from Central Arkansas, Tremont Smith, who they could look at. So, you know, there are some guys out there that fit into what they like to do as far as character and things of that nature. So without a second and third round pick, though, it's going to be difficult to kind of get those guys. So they're going to have to look at later round guys and factor in all the things they like, character, scheme fit, need, you know, that kind of situation. So we'll see. I mean, my opinion is that I think you're going to trade out of that 32 spot and go down a couple spots. But again, it depends on how the draft unfolds. And, you know, if guys start to slip because it's a quarterback heavy draft and a lot of quarterbacks could go early, which would help the Eagles as far as maybe pushing someone down the board that they like. So, if there's somebody there at 32, yeah, they'll pull the trigger that they, if they like him. But my opinion is I think they're going to trade back a few spots, maybe with the Cleveland Browns, but we'll see.
All right, Ed, this was fantastic. One final question. On the coaching staff, offensive coordinator Frank Reich and quarterback coach John DeFilippo, they're now both gone. Doug Peterson obviously is still there to run everything, but how do you think the departure of those guys will impact the offense?
Yeah, I mean – I think they'll be okay. I think they promoted from within. They brought Press Taylor up, who was kind of, you know, he's their quarterback's coach. He played quarterback in college. So, you know, he knows Wentz well. They have a good relationship, Press Taylor and Carson Wentz do, as well as Nick Foles and Nate Sudfeld. You know, Taylor's been on this staff for a couple years now. So he's been promoted to quarterback's coach, and then they promoted Mike Groh, the receivers coach, to offensive coordinator. And, you know, Mike Groh did a great job with the receivers last year. You know, obviously his father, Al Groh, was a head coach, you know, for the New York Jets and at the University of Virginia. He was pretty heavily involved in the game planning last year as a receivers coach. So I think promoting from within will kind of help them. They do have a new receivers coach that they brought in from the outside, Gunter Brewer, who everybody seems to like. But I think losing Reich, obviously, to the Indianapolis Colts, that could be a factor. I know him and Peterson had a real close relationship, and they would spend the night before every game, just the two of them, sitting wherever it was, whether it was a home game, sitting in the team facility or on the road, sitting in a conference room or one of their rooms, just kind of fine-tuning that scripted playbook that each team uses, you know, the first 15 to 20 plays. They would just sit there for, you know, 2-3 hours, just kind of bouncing ideas off each other and putting together those 15 to 20 plays to start a game. They had a terrific relationship. So, you know, they were both former quarterbacks in the NFL, obviously Peterson and Reich, backup quarterbacks. So, you know, that kind of lended itself to that relationship. So, you know, I think losing Reich, who was a terrific guy, I hope he does a great job in Indianapolis. But I think losing him and kind of that mentorship and friendship that him and Peterson had developed, you know, it could be a little bit difficult to overcome. But again, they promoted from within. They know who these guys are. So I don't think it'll leave too big of a mark.
All right, Ed, this was fantastic. Thanks for all of your insight. And we hope to talk with you again as we get closer to the season.
Hey, anytime, Matt. Thank you.
We just finished speaking with Ed Kratz, an Eagles beat writer for the Eagles Wire on USA Today. We covered a lot. Here are some of the thoughts I have coming out of our conversation. We talked about the rehabilitation of Carson Wentz, and right now the plan is for him to start the season. I don't know about that. I don't know if that's a great idea. And I think that's something that's kind of separate from like his healthfulness and whether he actually physically can do it. You know, he was an MVP candidate before the ACL injury. You know, probably the MVP front runner. And he might not be the same guy as a runner. And, you know, that's important. That's an important part of his game. You know, think of the Robert Griffin III injury and how that impacted, you know, slash derailed his career. Obviously, there's a difference between Wentz and RG3 in terms of their throwing capabilities. But Wentz, his ability as a passer will even be impacted if he can't do all the things previously as a runner that he could do. And then even if you look at previous quarterbacks who have come off of ACL injuries, they are often even just as passers, like your prototypical Tom Brady type of pocket passers. Those guys normally aren't as productive as passers. And, you know, my theory on this, and this is obviously just a theory, it's, you know, been years since I've practiced medicine. That was a joke. I don't have a medical degree. Anyway, my theory on this is that even if the ACL is structurally sound and everything is fine with the knee, you know, the guys just aren't quite as mobile. They can't maneuver in the pocket as well. And they also probably don't have quite as steady of a base from which they are throwing. And that can impact their accuracy, their ability to deliver the ball quickly. I think it still impacts them. Like footwork, if you talk to quarterback gurus or listen to quarterback gurus, you know, someone like Josh Norris or, you know, like, they will say, like, what happens in the bottom half of a quarterback, what happens with his feet and his legs, like, that is just as important as what happens with his arm, right? And so if a guy has torn an ACL, I think it makes sense that, you know, the bottom half of his body is not quite as strong as it used to be, and that would impact his ability to throw, not just his ability to run. You know, so Carson Wentz suffered his knee injury near the end of the season. Even if he is able to come back, you know, to start the season, I don't know if it's a good idea for that to happen, right? You know, the team is keeping Nick Foles. It seems unlikely that there's going to be a draft day trade for him. I think the team should think of Foles as the starter at the beginning of the season. Not that he is taking Wentz's job, but that because Foles is there, Wentz has the luxury to rehab fully. He has the luxury, kind of quote-unquote, to over-rehab, right? He doesn't need to rush back. I think the worst thing that the team could do is put its franchise quarterback on the field too soon. And I think too soon might even be kind of within that window when a team would think, okay, we can put this guy on the field. Right, just because Carson Wentz can go out there and be 80 or 90% of the quarterback or the athlete that he used to be, that doesn't mean they should do it, right? Why not wait till he is fully back? You know, give him practice snaps, let him continue to rehab during some of the season, and then you can bring him back. I really think bringing him back to start the season is probably doing it too soon, right? But the worst thing they could do is put him on the field before he's ready, right? Especially when they don't need to, because they have a highly competent backup quarterback who could lead the offense to start the year, right? That's the point of having Foles and not trading him, so that Wentz doesn't need to rush back. Now, I think the Eagles are a smart organization. You know, they've been a smart organization for years. They tend to do a lot of things well. I think they can probably be trusted when it comes to the rehabilitation and reintegration of Carson Wentz into the offense. But this will be, I mean, I think this is the storyline, maybe not just for the Eagles, but the storyline for the NFL of the season. Does Wentz come back, and what does he look like when he comes back? How soon does he come back? If he comes back and he's, you know, he's the guy that he was last year, you know, I mean, the Eagles at that point, I think, would be front runners to win the Super Bowl. There's just a big question around Wentz. When does he come back and what does he look like? Also, I mean, and I think this is, people know about this, but it's underrated, I think. The impact, or the potential impact, that the departures of offensive coordinator Frank Reich and quarterback coach John DeFilippo might have on the team. People are kind of ignoring that. Like, I think their absence will be felt. Peterson is obviously the guy who runs that offense. But last year, really the last 2 years, right, he's been able to have a kind of quote-unquote second self, right? The problem with a lot of hands-on coaches who still run their side of the ball is that they can't be as effective as head coaches because they're still basically trying to be coordinators. With Frank Reich there, Peterson was basically able to delegate a lot of stuff to Reich. So Peterson could still be the effective big picture thinker because he had Reich helping him out. He had someone to make sure that the small details that are still important, but the smaller details were taken care of, right? He might not have that right away with the new offensive coordinator, right? It takes some time to develop that partnership. So that might be something that impacts the team in ways that aren't quite as obvious. And then also the absence of John DeFilippo. I mean, that guy has done fantastic work when it's come to developing quarterbacks. You know, Carson Wentz rehabilitating Nick Foles, you know, coming out of the Jeff Fisher era. Foles was considering retirement, and, you know, DeFilippo was able to help him get back to his, you know, big dick Nick ways. So the impact of those two guys not being there, I think it's going to be there. People don't really think about it so much, but Reich and DeFilippo, they were important parts of what that offense was doing. It should still be the same offense. It just might not function quite as well. One thing that is interesting, though, is that in terms of the running game, it might be better this year. You have a full offseason with Jay Ajayi to learn the offense, and you have Corey Clement entering his second season in the league, right? The combination of those two guys could be really good, and it could be better this year than it was last year, just, you know, because of the natural development of having those guys with more time in the system. In the conversation with Ed, one thing that I thought was interesting is that the team is looking at the skill position players in the first round. You know, if Darius Guys falls to number 32, he could be the pick, even though the Eagles don't have a big need at the running back position. You know, the same with wide receiver. They have Alshon, they have Aguilar, they have Mike Wallace, they have Hollins and Gibson on the bench, and they're reportedly very interested in those guys. So that's five wide receivers right there. But if Cortland Sutton or DJ Moore, maybe even Calvin Ridley, if one of them falls that far, the Eagles could take them. I thought it was interesting that they are looking for a tight end, which makes sense because they have very little depth behind Zach Ertz at this point. But what they are really looking for is a tight end who can block. Right? So much focus has been given to the departure of Trey Burton. And that makes sense because he was an athletic guy. He was the guy who really filled in for Zach Ertz and supplemented what he did as a receiving tight end. But people also forget about Brent Celek, and he's no longer with the team. And he played a lot of snaps as the second tight end on the field, right? And specifically, his role was to be the guy who could block, right? So the Eagles, they do need to add tight end depth, but that almost certainly won't be in round one. and the team doesn't have a pick in round two, right? They might trade down in round one, and they could pick up, an extra round two or a day two pick. But it's notable that they think of blocking tight end as the bigger need than a second receiving tight end behind Ertz. That I think is actually significant. But in terms of the Eagles' plans for the first round of the draft, I mean, it's like, what do you get the team that has everything, right? They have probably the deepest roster in the league. They have no obvious needs. You know, pick number 32 is value city. It's all about drafting the guy who shouldn't have fallen that far. And Ed mentioned that the team, might like an offensive lineman at number 32, an eventual replacement for Peters at left tackle. Or maybe if one of the kind of premier defensive tackles falls to that pick, that could be the guy. They value those guys in the trenches. But really, at that point, it's impossible to predict really where this team is going to go with that pick or if they will trade down because, no one has much idea what's going to happen in the first 31 picks. You know that it is highly probable that, say, like 20 guys could be off the board. Like, you could identify those guys in advance to say, like, by pick 32, these 20 guys will almost certainly be off the board. But after that, it gets kind of gray. And so you really have no idea what the Eagles are going to do, especially because they have no needs. So, we're just sort of sitting here like, hey, no idea. Honestly, whatever they do, it probably won't matter much for 2018 anyway. It will matter for the future, but 2018 is basically all about Wentz's health. Even so, if they happen to draft a guy like Geis or Sutton or Moore, I'm going to be pretty excited. And that's going to do it for this Eagles-focused special edition of RotoViz Radio. Be sure to check out the episodes for all the other teams on RotoViz in the podcast feed. I'm Matt Friedman, Matt F. The Oracle. Thanks for tuning in. Thank you for listening to this special edition of RotoViz Radio, the flagship RotoViz podcast. Special thanks to Hassan Rahim, the producer for this episode, and to Colin Kelly, the assistant executive producer for the podcast channel. Please review the show on iTunes under the RotoViz Radio feed. Contact us via email, rotovizradio@gmail.com. We'd love to hear what you think, and follow us on Twitter at RotoViz Radio. And remember, you can always support the show by subscribing to RotoViz at a 30% discount through the NFL podcast homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.